Join Aubrey Masango, evenings on 702.
Ahmed Esop joins me once again. Mr. Esop, thank you so much for staying with us. Apologies for a bad line there. Why did the Minister of Higher Education dissolve the NSFAS board, and what are the results? What are the consequences of this?
The NSFAS has been lurching from crisis to crisis in the last 5 or 6 years. And most recently, as you may be aware, at the end of last year, there were serious allegations made about tender irregularities with regard to service providers who were meant to distribute and disperse funds to students, many of whom have not received the funds as we speak. There have been a whole series of other issues with the NSFAS in terms of their systems, their ability to address the concerns of students. As in the past, they've overpaid students and so forth. So the board has not been able to function effectively and efficiently. And in a sense, it should have been dissolved a lot sooner than today.
And what is the consequence of this? I mean, I see that the department has now put NSFAS under administration. What does that mean?
Well, the minister, not Parliament, the minister.
Sorry, minister. Yes, my apologies.
Has put under administration. It means effectively he is appointed an administrator who acts as an individual as the board. He, in this case, it is a he, will make all the decisions relating to the NSFAS, which normally resides with the board, and will be tasked with trying to turn around and put in place the systems and processes necessary to turn around the NSFAS in the next period.
And what is the consequence then for students that were dependent on funds coming from NSFAS during this time?
Well, look, students have been having difficulty accessing funds because the system has broken down. The NSFAS had made arrangements with higher education institutions, and I'm assuming with TVET colleges, I know less about the TVET sector, to make advances to students and for the universities to be reimbursed by the NSFAS. And that will continue while the NSFAS systems are put in place in order to function more smoothly. It doesn't affect them. It doesn't affect students in terms of the actual allocation or scholarship that they're receiving. The real problem is the disbursement is not being done in a timely fashion. Students had not received funds at the beginning of the academic year. In some cases, they may still not have received funds. So in that sense, it makes it difficult because students require the funds for accommodation, for food, and so forth. But in principle, the funding will not stop.
A Mr. Ernest, I think is the name, who was the chairperson of NSFAS up until January this year, took a leave of absence. And later we hear that he has been reporting that his life is in danger. What are the issues? What's going on at NSFAS, Mr. Esop, that we should understand? Perhaps stuff that is happening below the radar, as it were.
Well, the chair of the NSFAS, in a report that was prepared by ALTA, the organization for tax, against tax, I forget the full title, earlier this year, they prepared a report based on information and evidence that they had received, including recordings of Mr. Khoza and another member of the board or one of the company's
service providers. Ernest Khoza is the name.
Discussing the irregularities in terms of the tender process. And the allegation and the recording seem to suggest that Mr. Khoza was involved in the shenanigans in terms of diverting or appointing the particular service providers that were appointed by the NSFAS to distribute funds to the students. There were 4 service providers appointed. The report prepared indicated that tender processes had been flouted. The minister requested the NSFAS board in December last year to terminate the contracts of the service providers. That has not happened to date, according to the minister. But Mr. Khoza was implicated, and in the recordings, it would seem, based on what I've heard in the recordings, that there were also suggestions that that the minister was in cahoots with Mr. Khoza.
So it appears that even the person who has dissolved the very board is himself under suspicion of malpractice or perhaps unethical behavior. Perhaps that's the way to say it.
Well, that's an allegation. Yeah, that for needs sure. to be tested sure. and investigated.
Sure. Yeah. And I imagine everybody in this situation is going to argue that everything that has been pointed against them is an allegation that must still be proven or corroborated by some sort of evidence in a court of law. I'm sure that's going to be the mantra. But it appears that the whole system from top to bottom is wanting, Mr. Essip.
Well, that's correct. And, you know, the processes that NSFAS, as I said, it's not in the recent months. It's come to a head in recent months. But in 2019, the minister appointed an administrator for the same sort of reasons, that the system was not functioning effectively, students were not being paid on time, that the business processes in terms of IT systems, etc., were obsolete. And in fact, the minister appointed a review committee to look at the business processes at the NSFAS that was chaired by Professor Eunice Ballam from the University of Witwatersrand. That the report of that review committee and the recommendations it made has never been made public. So the minister has questions to answer. So why the report was not made public, why he did not take action against the board more in a more timely fashion, and so forth. So there's a very fundamental problem with the way the NSFAS has been functioning in the recent past.
One of the allegations that has surfaced in sort of the general talk about what's going on in NSFAS is that powerful people have been the custodians of ghost students. In other words, they have been the recipients of monies that have been going to ghost students, that in the corridors of NSFAS, it was a well-known fact that certain number of ghost students belong to ex-powerful person, a certain number of ghost students belong to ex-number of persons. Is there any truth, any suggestion of truth around those kinds of allegations?
I'm not aware of those allegations directly myself. But it should be, I mean, if there's any veracity in the allegations, it should be possible to investigate through looking at the NSFAS systems. But as I say, I'm not aware of those allegations, specific allegations. Yeah.
Where to now for NSFAS? I suppose a good idea that seems to be experiencing some very difficult times as an operational sort of force to help students in need. Where to for NSFAS? It looks like it's in real deep trouble at the moment.
It's in deep trouble. It's a very important institution in terms of the service it provides to those students from low-income, working-class backgrounds who can't afford access to higher education without the support that the NSFAS provides. I think it's back to the drawing board. There needs to be a fundamental review of its processes, its operations, the structure of its board, the composition, the way board members are selected. Board members are appointed by the minister. Questions have to be asked whether the appropriate people are being appointed onto the board in terms of both their expertise and commitment to the vision of the NSFAS. And there's a lot to be lost for the students if we don't get it right.
Some people have argued, Mr. Essip, that the problem really started when former President Jacob Zuma, on the final day of his presidency, announced without the right consultation process with the relevant bodies, including the Department of Higher Education, that there was going to be free education for certain categories of students. Would you agree?
Well, I think that contributed to the problem, that the decision was made. Jacob Zuma announced it in December 2017, if I recollect correctly, just a month before the start of the new academic year. There was no proper investigation or assessment made of what the implications of free higher education would be, not in terms of the principal, but whether the funds would be available, whether the NSFAS systems would cope with a large number, additional number of students that would come on board. But, you know, that announcement was made at the end of 2017. We are now sitting in 2024. So there's been 6 or 7 years within which it should have been possible to ensure that the systems were upgraded and enhanced to be able to deal with the additional influx of students who qualified for NSFAS. That has not happened. As I indicated, in 2020, Parliament, the Parliamentary Committee on Higher Education, requested the minister to investigate or review the NSFAS processes. The minister established a review committee. The review committee, as far as I understand it, submitted a report at the time with recommendations which have not been made public. The minister refers to the fact that he's asked the NSFAS board for a turnaround strategy on his business processes, IT systems, etc., and nothing has happened. So the question is, who takes accountability and responsibility for that? And why was the board not dissolved much earlier if in 2020, 2021, it was not addressing the concerns that were raised about its internal operations and processes?
From where you sit, Mr. Essop, what is the problem there?
Well, I think the NSFAS has grown enormously over the years. You know, it was set up in 1999. It now covers a few hundred thousand students in higher education and many more in the TVET sector. And its systems has not developed in line with the expansion of the NSFAS. I know from a project that I've worked on more recently, not on on student funding, that to the data that the NSFAS holds is incomplete, it's inconsistent, it does not speak to the information that's held in the National Higher Education Information System. So it's very difficult, even from the research we were doing, to try to make the connections between the kinds of students who were receiving funds, how they were moving through the system, and so forth. So effectively, the board has not discharged its responsibility in terms of ensuring that its operational systems were in place, were up to standard, and were able to meet the demands imposed on it by the expansion of the system. And that fundamentally is the problem at the NSFAS. Leaving aside issues of tender irregularities and so forth, The Auditor General has just released a report about tender irregularities relating to a lease for new offices in Cape Town for some 177 million rand. And this has been ongoing. You know, the minister in his statement yesterday talked about the fact that it's not been able to submit annual reports, it's not been able to provide the information in terms of closing out at the end of each financial year. There are a whole range of issues that the department and minister have identified, which the board has not attended to, and nothing has been done about it.
Ahmed Essop, thank you so much for your insights into this difficult situation. I really hope that cool heads and sobriety will prevail in all of this so that students can help get the assistance they need. Ahmed Essop is Research Associate in Higher Education, Policy and Planning, and consultant at the Ali Mazrui Center for Higher Education Studies.